come to worship the Lord. Holy is His name, right? Which means there's no one like Him. So if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 2, we'll see once again another example of the fact that there is clearly no one like our God. Great and marvelous, majestic is He. One of the themes of the book of Romans is that God is not a respecter of persons. The reason we know this to be true is he begins to deal with this whole argument of the Jews feeling special right from the start, chapter 1, and then he goes into chapter 2. Their question finally arises in chapter 3, well, what advantage do we have? If there's no partiality with God, and if we're not special, then what advantage do we have as being a Jew? And you see that in chapter 3 and verse 1. What advantage has a Jew? What benefit has circumcision? And he goes, in every respect, in the fact that you were given the oracles of God and given the responsibility to oversee them. Nevertheless, what God wants to make very clear is that if, in fact, you choose to reject who he is in his righteousness, it does not matter what your background is, where you are from, who you know, God will judge you accordingly. And one of the statements that he makes at the end of chapter 1 is that many of them knew the ordinances of God, but that didn't mean that they were righteous, nor did it mean that they were doing them. And so one of the statements that he's making is even though you may be privileged enough to have the Word of God, it doesn't make you any more righteous unless you do them. He ends this in verse 32, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. Sometimes people think, well, I have the knowledge of the Word of God. And God says, so what? It's the doers of the Word, not the hearers, who will simply delude themselves. You go into chapter 2, and he says this in verse 1, therefore, you're without excuse. You say, who specifically is he talking to? Well, he's talking specifically to those people who know the right thing. I've been studying the right thing. I know what the right thing to do is. You know, I'm the privileged person. He goes, privilege? I don't know if I'd put it in that category. I put it in, your judgment is going to be greater because you know. You proclaim, therefore, you are without excuse, every man who passes judgment, for in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. We know that God's judgment is going to rightly fall on you. He goes on and he begins to talk about the fact that God is going to judge these hearts. The thought is that, God's going to judge people differently. And God is saying, no, I'm not going to judge people differently. In fact, we read in verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. There will be tribulation, verse 9, and distress for every soul of the man who does evil. Of the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Why the Jew first? Because he knew he had the law. And be held accountable. But glory and honor and peace to every man who does good, to the Jew first and also the Greek. In other words, it doesn't matter. And then he makes this statement in verse 11. For there is what? No partiality with God. Is God partial? No. How do we know that? It says it. There's no partiality with God. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15 says, look, you cannot be partial to the poor, nor can you defer to the rich. Why? Because there is no partiality with God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9 says it doesn't matter if they're masters or if they're slaves. It makes no difference to God. In Galatians chapter 2, it says it doesn't make any difference to God if they have reputation or they don't have reputation. It makes no difference to God. God is not partial to either. And throughout Scripture, he gives you this. In fact, Colossians chapter 3, verse 25 says, look, you're going to receive the consequences of your wrong, for there is no partiality in God's judgment towards you. So repeatedly, Scripture is telling us that there is absolutely, positively no partiality. In fact, if you were to take this word and see it translated in another text, in James chapter 2, verse 1, it talks about you and I are not allowed to show personal favoritism to others. And in that particular passage, It uses the word personal favoritism, which is the exact same word that he uses in this text for favoritism or for partiality. So partiality and favoritism are the same words. I think oftentimes there's confusion in this, in that people say, well, God in Scripture says that God showed favor to this person. In fact, Scripture tells us in the Old Testament, and Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. And that's absolutely, positively true. God does show favor in that. But favor and favoritism are two completely different words. That God shows favor to the heart that is wholly his. In fact, if you look at the end of Romans chapter 2, verse 29, it says, well, start with verse 28, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Well, that would be showing favoritism, right? Neither is circumcision that which is outward of the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. In other words, man looks at the outward appearance, that's favoritism. God looks at the heart. That's anybody's heart can be right with God. It doesn't matter who you are. To the Jew first, to the Greek, it doesn't matter who you are. But favor and favoritism, this is where confusion, I think, oftentimes comes in, because our thought is that, well, he shows favor, therefore that is the word favoritism. Favoritism is a negative connotation in which it's pointing to the fact of somebody leaning towards somebody out of ulterior motives. That's favoritism. That's a bad word. It's like the word human. We're all humans, I think, here. We're all humans, but do you all follow humanism? No, that's a whole different word, isn't it? That's a whole different ballgame. Once you put that ism on there, that's a whole different thought. So God is one that shows favor, yes, but he is not partial, nor does he show favoritism. And it needs to be clear, it needs to be understood throughout Scripture. And it's just one of the things that sometimes come up, and you want to make them clear, because it really is displaying the character and the nature of who God is. Pastor, why is it so important that we know this truth? Because it's displaying who God is. Our God is a God of love. Our God is a God who is just. The very word favoritism means unjustness. It has an ulterior motive. So our God is a righteous, holy, just God. And God is not willing that any should perish. For God so loved the world. So thankful that we have a God. Father, I give you thanks for your loving kindness to us, and that we can trust in your righteousness, not in ours. We know that man looks at the outward appearance and manipulates according to personal favoritism, but not you. You are not one to show partiality, but to any man who will humble himself before you, you will in no way cast him out. You are opposed to the proud, but you give grace to the humble. We give you thanks in Jesus' name.